Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is Reed Mahalko of ReadAboutSex.com, and you're listening to Why Are People Into That? With Tina Horn.
Welcome to the 40th episode of Why Are People Into That? The podcast that burns, baby, burns. My guest today is Lamalani Sieverts, a sex educator and kinky craftsperson who was International Miss Leather in 2009. I attended Lamalani's ergonomic roughhousing class at Purple Passion here in New York City, and afterwards we settled onto my couch to talk about fire play. Like, literally blazing hot sex, like setting your body aflame. Lamalani actually gave me a whole lesson in making the materials for fire play, and if you want to listen to that, you can subscribe to Why Are People Into That on Acast Plus. Download the Acast app to find out more. A big thank you to everyone who attended my talk, The Whore Singularity, at the Woodhull Sexual Freedom Conference. I had a fantastic time presenting, and I learned so much from the panels that I attended. Speaking of conferences, BinderCon is a kick-ass conference for women and gender nonconforming writers. I'll be presenting a panel there this year called Obscene Stirs with two people who have been guests on this show this year, Milka Halili and Merritt Kay, as well as my friend Yana Kalu. I'm really stoked to talk about vulgarity and discomfort with these badass babes. If you want to see a live discussion that will probably not be unlike an episode of this very podcast, come to BinderCon in New York City, October 29th and 30th. So, stop, drop, roll, and get ready to explore why are people into fire? What's up, Lamalani?
I'm doing well. I'm having a great time with you here in New York.
Cool, yeah. Thanks for coming. You've lived all over the place, but you live somewhere very not New York-y now, isn't that right?
That is very true. I have had a shift in my environment. I'm moving from the West Coast, where I grew up in Seattle, and then most recently in San Francisco to Ohio.
Yeah, Akron, right? Home of Devo.
I'm not even sure.
It is.
Okay. That's where Devo's I know the from. Pretenders and yeah. Duct tape.
Oh, can't be that bad.
It's not bad. It's great for a dyke.
Well, and I, we've gotten such an awesome chance to spend some time together this weekend. We've been kind of like ships in the night for a long time. But you are a leader in the leather community. And you are a leather title holder. You were IMSL 2009?
Correct.
Yes. I think you're like the fourth IMSL that I've had on the show. So
excellent. You know, lucky number four.
Yeah, exactly. and you also are, I think, quite a legendary teacher. I have heard about your teaching far and wide. And I got to go to one of your classes at Purple Passion here in New York. Last week, which was called Ergonomic Roughhousing, and that was right up my alley and really fun. I really enjoyed it.
I'm glad you did. That's a fun one for me to teach.
Yeah, you definitely have a combination of charisma and pervert kinky knowledge with just really nerdy science stuff that I really appreciated, because that's not the first place that my mind goes. So that's always a great chance for me to learn like physics formulas to use in impact play.
Yeah, use science to explain sex. It's great.
And speaking of science, one of the things that we are going to talk about today, even though you teach classes on all kinds of different stuff, when I asked you what you wanted to teach, you said fire.
I like teaching what I'm passionate about.
It seems appropriate that you would have a passion for fire. It seems weird if somebody would be like lukewarm about fire. Seems counterintuitive.
Yeah, I think you either love it or are really scared of fire. I think it's pretty polarizing that way.
Yeah, or probably for the same reasons, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. So for those who are unfamiliar, can you explain what fire play is?
Yes. Fire play is having the erotic application of fire to skin. Mm. And definitely when exploring fire play, it is edge play. Mm. And get training and master the craft. Learn what you're doing before using it in play, definitely.
Yes, absolutely. That you heard it here first, folks. That is our disclaimer. There's a lot of things that we talk about on the show that I'm like, no, you go try it at home. But fire is definitely something that you want to get training in, which you can at your local kink community center, like go to a fire play class, or there's probably a ton of resources online as well, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of resources, but I think just like an old school BDSM, the best way to learn fire is through mentorship and hands-on. Mm-hmm, because you can see things, you can read about things, but I think the best way to learn is through experience, and you really get to know the nuances just by feeling it, because fire play is definitely hot, both literally and figuratively, and you can't really get that transmitted through a book.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about some of the ways that you can play with fire erotically. And this is not a metaphor, by the way. We're literally talking about fire. although that is, now that I mention it, it is interesting that so much figurative language around sex has to do with fire, right? Like even like being in heat, or mm-hmm. like being hot and bothered, or like you're making me so hot, or you look so hot, right?
Absolutely. And I think fire is intriguing because it's been, you know, humans have been captivated by fire since the dawn of time. And there's a mystery and interest, a mystical nature to fire, powerful. Mm. It's beautiful. It's captivating. So I think it's kind of encompasses a lot of what humans are.
Yeah. So people who are into fire play are kind of like erotic Prometheuses, right?
I'll agree with that. Sure. Yeah.
Well, so what's at the risk of being too on the nose, what is hot about fire play? Like what's sexy about it? What's erotic? Like if people are listening to this and they're like, what? Like I don't see the connection. I don't even know like where you would begin connecting sex and fire. Can you
yeah,
help us get to the bottom of that?
There's a lot of layers to fire play and why people are intrigued about it. So I can definitely talk about it from my experience and fascination, as well as from what I hear about others, but certainly there's a lot more. But I think when I talk about sex education and keeping sexiness alive and how to explore sex, I like to talk about the five senses. Mm. And how can we incorporate those senses to have a richer experience. And with fire, it really has all of those elements. So the first one will be visual and sight. I think fire is kind of soothing, mm-hmm. like watching a fish tank. Like when people go camping, they sit and can stare at the fire
oh,
for hours.
Totally. Right? Even if you're sober. Yeah.
Exactly.
You just want to stare and yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So we have that.
Or even dance. like being fascinated by like a building on fire, uh-huh. right? Or like a forest fire. Like it's horrifying, but also it's like train wreck, right? Like you can't take your eyes off of that power.
Exactly. And the colors, the movement of colors mm. from the entire spectrum, from blue to red, mm-hmm. and as well as some of the imagery that we have in pop culture, like think of hot rods and things. There's a lot of flame imagery that we have
oh,
and associate
yeah.
with as well.
Yeah.
So visual is one. Then we have the tactile sense. We have the heat. Mm. So your skin can play with the sensation play and we have all levels of heat from a warming to a burning sensation and everything between. So getting that range and playing with that is interesting. Then we have the noise, the whoosh of fire, that when you light a lighter, you have that sound that's very identifying, the crackle, all of that. So that's a sound that can be stimulating. It could be scary and incite fear. It could be dangerous, sexy, all of those.
Do you remember the first time that you learned that you could pass your finger over a candle flame?
Oh yeah,
at the dinner, and then you get in trouble at the dinner table, especially for like showing other kids that you can do that.
You were a kinkster very much like me as a kid. The ones that were always pushing our bodies, like, look what I can do, but we didn't know that we were our own masochists and sadists to ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. But also being sort of obsessed with the sensationalism of it, or the spectacle, that's the word I'm looking for, like the spectacle of it, and also just like being like a show off and showing what you can, what you're not afraid of, like something that you're supposed to be afraid of, that you're not afraid of it.
Yeah, that's a good way to sum it up. It's very powerful, empowering. And I also like pushing my own physical boundaries. It'd be like people that like to do long distance running extreme exercising. I'm definitely a physical person like that. And I like seeing how far I can push my body as well.
And you didn't, when you were talking about the senses, I mean, I think this is a matter of taste, but I happen to really, really love the smell of a campfire. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the kind of person that likes like Lapsang tea, like shout outs to Lapsang tea if anybody listening likes it. It's that like black English tea, or it's actually a Chinese, I think, that smells like a campfire.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do exactly know what you're talking about. And yeah, it's that familiar smell as well. And even burning hair, which is to some people unpleasant, but it's an association, a positive association to me, to a point, of course. But there is a smell of fire, that campfire smell, which I could put in a bottle.
Yeah, absolutely. it's sensual. And I don't know, there's something... I mean, I don't think there's something intrinsically masculine about it, but, obviously, but, it does have sort of an association of like, sort of like rustic, rugged, tough,
primal.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that I was thinking of when you were talking about, the tactile sensation, is just, I think my listeners know at this point that I'm really obsessed with hot tubs and really obsessed with like hot springs and saunas and steam rooms and that kind of thing. And it's not necessarily erotic for me to do those things, but it is sadomasochistic. Like, I want to see how much heat I can take. But I guess we'll get into this, but fire play is not necessarily about like seeing how much heat you can take, is it?
Can be, and
you have to have a lot of control in order to be able to do that.
Yeah, and I can tell you about an activity that happens at Desire. I guess we can get into it now.
Yeah.
But fire can be applied in just a little bit and localized, or it can be applied on the whole body. At Desire, there is a
Can
pool.
You say what Desire
oh,
is?
Oh, yes, thank you. Desire is a women's event held in Palm Springs. And it has a hotel room that's set around as a perimeter, like a fortress, and the center is a pool. So we have play outdoors.
It's great.
It's pretty fantastic.
It's great.
And full body fire play became very popular at Desire.
Cool.
So we have a pool. And we light the entire body on fire.
Wow.
So the fuel is 70% isopropyl alcohol, so it's burning the fuel, but we apply it to the entire body using 4 torches and about 3 people to monitor and apply the fire. So we set the person on fire and kick him in the pool.
Okay, so that is amazing. And so why don't we start a little smaller and then build up to how we can... like go to like lighting an entire person on fire. And but before we do, let's just make sure that people understand that when you were talking about with the alcohol, when you say lighting a person on fire, they're not gonna have even like third-degree burns from that afterwards. I mean, unless something goes wrong.
Correct. So it's the alcohol burning off. And when I say the entire body's lit on fire for about two or three seconds, really. And it's the most intense 2 or 3 seconds of your life.
Sure.
So it's a very quick, very intense play. And it's an amazing rush. So the endorphins are going. But that's in a case where you're doing a very quick, extreme heat and then putting it out via the pool very, very quickly.
Wow.
So in that case, it's a lot of alcohol being burned off the skin very quickly, which creates an intense heat sensation, which is then extinguished. So of course there's always the risk of a burn, but that's part of the play and we mitigate those risks
by taking
precautions ahead of time.
Like getting a bruise from impact play.
Correct.
It's not necessarily, you can be hurt and have a mark within the bounds of control and also something that you've consented to without being damaged.
Yes. Yeah. And I would think, through fire play when done like an intense scene, you might get a burn or a mark that would be equivalent to a sunburn if in a normal course of a scene. And that's not too bad.
Cool. It's like a day at the beach.
Exactly.
Okay. So let's roll it back and let's talk about beginner fire play.
Yeah. Yeah. So beginner fire play.
How do you do that? Where do you even begin?
And also just to continue on saying fire play does not result in a burn for every time, but if you're applying a lot of fire play, then you might get a heat sensation as if you were in the sun for a long time. But just applying fire does not equate to a burn immediately. So beginning fire play is I use torches, and that just looks like a little drumstick with a head on it, and that's how I apply my fire. And I also like to play with flash cotton, which is purchased from a magician's store. There's a lot of other types of play out there in fuels with the medium, and I also tend to play with 70% isopropyl alcohol. You can play with 90%, which burns a little bit hotter, but 70 is a good general intro level fuel.
Yeah.
And there's some other ones as well. Some people use mousse or other different fuels. There are other toys. There are fire floggers, generally made out of Kevlar falls, canes, and all sorts of wands, and people that have crossed over into like poi or other performance fire art have all sorts of toys as well.
Right. That makes sense. That makes sense. When you think about people doing like fire spinning and stuff, right? So like incorporating that kind of almost like that like circusy kind of performance with like kinky fire play.
Yeah, and that's where I like to kind of visualize the flow and the energy and the dance versus a very methodical application where it loses that energy, because there's an exchange. And I think fire harnesses a lot of energy that we can play with. So I think using that as a dance, and that keeps a really nice energetically flowing scene versus like put the fire on the body, extinguish, put the fire on the body in another place. So that's where I think just taking a beginning application of technique and turning it into a scene is really about flow.
You mentioned the appeal of the primal quality of fire. I think everybody can understand and relate to that. What's hot about that? What's hot about harnessing something that is a primal part of our environment? Speaking of nerdy science stuff.
Yeah, and for me, I like walking on the edge of control. And I love having power in my hand. And fire is such a destructive force in human history.
Yeah.
Like it's something that can destroy a civilization.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty powerful thing in human lives.
I mean, it can destroy everything.
Yeah. Exactly.
It can extinguish everything you own. It can completely change an environment really quickly, and it can destroy you. It can extinguish a life, and you know, so quickly and in a very, I mean, I'm thinking about witches being burned at the stake too, you know, like there is a spectacle of that. I mean, there's a reason that they burned them at the stake, you know?
Yeah, it's a very powerful elemental force, and I like to think of it definitely as an element. I'm, as you know, with school, I'm very much a marine biologist and fascinated with the ocean, And I love being out in the pelagic, which is very, it's open ocean, which is dangerous. It's powerful.
Yeah.
You have this waves and this mystery of a vast part of the planet. And so I love working on the ocean and out in the middle of it. So I like having danger right next to me and being
all around you. You're inside of danger. Yeah.
I'm a thrill seeker, definitely.
Clearly.
And so what I love having this dangerous element in my hand is something that I can wield and play with and have it just be on the edge of control.
But what's sexual about that?
For me, it's a power, the power dynamic.
Yeah.
And there's also, because of the sensations that I was mentioning earlier, I have all of those tools available in sensation play. So I like the sensation play mixed with the power dynamic. So for me, it basically stimulating the human body and mind, because we have the element of fear, of power,
right,
incorporated with the senses, is a very complete play for me.
And cool.
Yeah. So I like stimulation, and that's a good way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I it reminds me a little bit of electricity play. I mean, obviously fire and electricity are connected.
Yes.
And that part of the excitement of, or part of when I started to understand why electricity play was a thing, was the first time that I used a violet wand and could like shoot, use the attachment where you can shoot electricity from your fingers.
Yeah.
And it's like, listen, I'm not saying that I'm, you know, necessarily wizard sexual, but, you know, like there's something so thrilling about that, and so much the like power that you have to like wield a sensation that you can't wield without the assistance of that tool and like, or that toy. And so you have this toy and you can do this thing, and it's so thrilling and exciting that like if you're playing with someone in a sexual way, I can just, for me, like, yeah, I guess that's what it is that the power of that and the excitement and sometimes even just like the coolness of something is what makes it so sexy, right?
Yeah. And there's a huge visual element too, to have like a colored spark go from your hands to someone else's skin.
Yeah.
And besides, like, candle lighting is beautiful. Imagine a torch and a flame. Like, it just makes things sexy, and you have the lighting, and it just like brings pieces of the body to light, and like the human form changes as you apply that play differently. So just seeing that visual stimulation underneath my eyes turns me on as well.
Cool. I'm also thinking about like the cliche of the lady who's having her solo time, who like draws a bath and then lights a bunch of candles and then like masturbates in the bath, right? Like, yes, like a Candida Royale movie. There's got to be some like element of fire play in there, right? Uh-huh. At
least. We just took that and turned it up to 11.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So what does a fireplace scene look like?
Sure. So a lot of the fireplace scene starts with setup. So it's about choosing your space appropriately. And I won't go into it because people can get trained on that. But it's sort of creating a space where I can apply fireplay. And that's part of mitigating risk. Like, I know the floor is not going to be flammable. I know people aren't going to bump my scene if it's done in a public space. I know that, you know, the person's going to be comfortable yet in a position where it won't either create hot spots or, you know, that kind of stuff. So I've set up my scene and that way I can focus on the play itself. And people can either use like a massage table or a chair or, you know, standing up, whatever it is. So you've got your person there. And so I create my scene so that I have a good flow. And there are different things. We have alcohol that are in our torches. So I keep those soaked, and I probably have at least 4 torches, so I have 2 sets that I can rotate and keep soaking, so that doesn't interrupt my scene.
Cool.
And I've got my little candle going, so I can keep that relighting my torches. So it's about creating a flow so that I can keep that scene dancing and moving.
Cool.
And so I have my torches in alcohol to fuel, and then I can light my torch. So now I have essentially some like drumsticks with lit ends, which drummer to drummer.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yes.
I actually had some felt tip drumsticks. I was like, I have some giant bass drums that are felt. I'll put cotton on the outside. So in Fireplay, cotton is the external piece of our torch. It's not going to light on fire. Mm. And the inside can be synthetic. So I had bass drum mallets that I wrapped in cotton that were lit on fire. It was probably a giant fireball. It was a lot of fun, actually. they didn't spray a lot of alcohol on people, so I could use them on people. So it was an impressive visual element because I probably had a 2-foot flame on those things.
Oh my God.
Fireplay is about a lot of experimentation and learning from each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And also just like marveling at like how cool the thing that you made is. Yeah, it definitely has an artistic, but like the kind of artistic element that reminds me a little bit more of like, well, because you are an engineer, sort of like metal work and, and that kind of thing, like, more than, is there a name for that kind of art as opposed to more like painting or,
fabrication?
Yeah.
Probably. It's a little bit fabrication, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I think it's a crafting and fabrication. But yeah, we have our torches and toys, and a lot of it is really about flow and applying it to the body.
Mm-hmm.
So we move the fire around the body, and part of it is to keep and let the skin cool, so you're not creating hot spots in the same area.
Oh, interesting. I mean, that's so funny. It's true of all play.
True. Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah. So that's a good thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, and that also keeps the person who's receiving it stimulated because, you know, fire and heat is moving all around their body, which is pretty neat. And things that are more calloused, hands, maybe the external part of the arms, are a good place to start. And then we can move to the more sensitive part of the body. And we also use the alcohol as a fuel that we can trace on the body. So you have the torches that you can apply to the body. It's heat, as in just like touching the person and they create the heat in that spot. But you can also lay down the alcohol, hit the alcohol with the torch in a pattern, and then that pattern will light on fire.
That's so cool.
It's really cool. So it like runs down the body, and then, I mean, it's just neat to watch having alcohol run down someone's body in a pattern.
It also strikes me from the bottom's perspective, and I have done this play a little bit, not a lot. I think I'd like to do it more. From the bottom's perspective, especially if it's a public scene, there's a really hot element of erotic, I have to stop saying hot, there's a sexy titillating element of objectification to being a fireplate bottom, right? Because you become a material for the like show that someone is putting on. I mean, there's just no way that fireplay won't be a spectacle.
Yes.
You know, I mean, so, which is not, obviously, I have nothing wrong with the spectacle, but it's like, I just doubt that, I can't see anyone wanting to do a fireplace scene in public and then being like confused that they had a crowd.
Yeah, I would agree, because fire gets attention,
right?
Period. You know, whether it's intentional or unintentional fire in public, people are going to watch.
Yeah, I mean, that pretty much is like, we can stop podcasting now, right? Fire gets attention. The end. That's why people are hot for it.
Yeah. Like,
that's why it's sexy.
But
yeah.
Even if it were two people, top and bottom, in a room, putting a mirror up so that the bottom can see what's happening to their own body works, because
that's not something you see every day.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just such a, it's a captivating thing that gets your attention.
It also taps into something that I like to talk about a lot, which is the way that BDSM, that the play and the practice of BDSM, of playing, the way that playing and practicing dangerous things makes me more fearless in my everyday life in a good way. Like, it helps me to see that things that are fearful and dangerous, or unconsensual use of power, there are things that I can just see coming a lot sooner.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have had that experience of like moving through that fear, moving through that pain in a way that, in an environment where ultimately you know that you can trust someone and that you're safe, then you feel less scared of things. Now, obviously, we should never lessen our fear of fire, right? Like, yeah. we shouldn't get cocky. But it also, just like what we were talking about with the fingertip in the candle flame thing, it, when you have that experience, or when you look in the mirror and you see yourself being set on fire, all of a sudden, like, dealing with your everyday problems is kind of like, whatever, bitches, I got set on fire this weekend. Right?
I know.
Right?
Yeah. And I think fire being such an element, which when given more fuel, it will just continue getting more intense.
Right.
So I think playing with fire gives us a better understanding of this element. And when, so my mentor, Dr. Danger, when teaching me, said, and just lit the torch on fire and just had me watch the torch as it had a lot of fuel, and then as it consumed the fuel and then extinguished itself.
Yeah.
And Dr. Danger said, the fire will talk to you. The flame will talk to you.
Cool.
So if you understand what the flame is doing, then you can see if it's going to intensify or extinguish, and also knowing where on the flame is the hottest part, where is the part we can apply to the body, the part we can put our hands through, and how much. So I, of course, will push it. And I also made bondage rope professionally, where we had a bunch of torches. And that's another thing, is we're putting an organic fiber through a bunch of torches, and it can know how fast things would have to flow, you know, so you can understand how much you can move through the fire before the thing you're putting through the fire caught on fire. So then, of course, I had to put my arm through it to see how fast I had to move, or how slow I can move, because knowledge is... it's
knowledge is fire?
Knowledge is fun. There we go. Knowledge is fun. We'll go with that.
I said knowledge is fire. Yeah, but knowledge is also fun.
Knowledge is fun. So I figured out that I can put my arm through a bunch of butane torches at a certain speed.
How did that make you feel?
I think I've just improved. So I was just like, yeah, I can do it.
Before I got my eyes put out,
the sky was mine. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Tina Horn, the producer and host of the podcast Why Are People Into That? An interview show about sex, kink, gender, and love. I want to tell you about the new bonus segment of my show. It's called Interrobang. An interrobang is when a question mark and an exclamation point are next to each other. Really, that's the actual name for that. Interrobang is also a short, exclusive segment that you get when you subscribe to Why Are People Into That on Acast Plus. On this episode of Interrobang, my guest is Lamalani Sieverts. Lamalani is a West Coast kinky pervert and leather title holder. She loves combining sex with fire, like actual fire. After recording an entire episode called Why Are People Into Fire Play, I thought it would be fun to do an Interrobang segment with her about showers and barbecues. Afterwards, we had kinky DIY time, where Lama taught me how to make my own torch.
That flame and focus, and just knowing its personality through the column of the flame and the torch and stuff. And flash cotton's also another thing, too, that when... I like having that laying down on the skin, and as the torch hits it or even gets close, having that set off in a very intense moment, because it generates a lot of heat very quickly. Plus, it has sort of that surprise element on it. I was like, oh, I got it.
Surprise, on fire. There it goes.
To find out more, subscribe to Wire People Into That on your Acast app. Follow at Tina Horns Ass on Twitter and Instagram, and visit wirepeopleintothat.com.
So how did you get trained?
Yeah, I guess I've been playing with fire since I was a kid, as we were talking about earlier.
So you're a pyro.
Yes. In other words, yes. And I have my little lighter mark to prove it. And that's just because it's fun. And I had someone brand it to expand on that, too.
Nice.
But I've been playing with fire since I was a kid. I was an outdoor hippie, so we'd always had fire and camping and all that.
Yeah.
So that was something that captured my attention for a long time. So how I got into it in an erotic sense was because I grew up in the BDSM community in Seattle, who are a bunch of hardcore motherfuckers. And fire is big there. So I think... as far as I understand, it's Celeste Fire Tender in the 80s, I believe, was kind of the big person who explored that. And my mentor, Dr. Danger, is also a huge fire bug. So
is that the name for people who like fire? Firebugs?
Firebug, yeah, I think so, sure.
Oh my God, that's really cute.
Yeah, we're just a bunch of people that need to keep warm in the Northwest. So yeah, might as well start each other.
Oh, you're
set
like
each other on fire.
You're little lightning bugs.
Exactly.
I love that.
Yeah, we don't have lightning bugs on the West Coast, so we'll make our own.
Yeah. I guess the other thing that I'm thinking about with thinking about being the bottom in a fireplace scene is. And I think this is true of a lot of edge play. And Maxwell Lander and I were talking about this in the episode, a couple episodes back, about blood, that when you're doing a scene with that involves breaking the skin, or you're doing a scene that involves fire or any kind of other, you know, extreme physical or psychological play, you don't get distracted as easily. And you just concentrate so completely, and you have to trust. I mean, as a bottom, you really have to trust that the fire top knows what they're doing, and you can't. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I'm realizing that any kind of brattiness or topping from the bottom or micromanaging or like not being fully invested and kind of squirming and like not, you know, like not being focused is gonna fuck you up in the wrong way.
Absolutely.
Right? So
yeah.
You have to really lock in and get in subspace, or in any case, like surrender and trust to, you know, surrender your trust or give your trust to the top. There's just kind of no getting around that.
Yeah.
And that's very appealing.
It is, because it is something that is very dangerous. Fire is dangerous.
Yeah.
And so you're putting a lot of trust into the person. So definitely, of course, vet your tops.
Yeah.
Make sure they know what you're doing and they're reputable. But definitely, you're putting a lot of control and safety in the top's hands, which is, I think, a beautiful way to surrender, is say that, yes, I trust you to play with this really dangerous element.
Yeah, and just in going back to the central question of the show, why are people into that? Like, why would you be into being set on fire? To me, this is a really crucial element of it, that it helps you to access that space of just totally like locking into the experience that you're having.
Yeah, and I'll even take it even a step back, and I'd see a lot of people who haven't been exposed to fire yet, they're interested, have a lot of fear around it, but also curiosity.
Yeah. I mean, again, Prometheus, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah, curiosity.
So it's a scary, scary thing. So when introducing people to fireplay, it's very popular at like BDSM tasters or carnivals, where people can try things out. And people are very scared, and putting fire in somebody's hand is a good way to start. So again, going back to where the hand is very callous, generally it can take a lot.
Right, right.
And they also have power to extinguish the fire themselves by closing it and cutting off the oxygen. So it puts the control in their hand. So you can put the fire in their hand. They're like, oh, well, that's not so bad. And then if they're scared, usually they'll close it right away and say, okay, do it again. And they keep their hand open a little bit longer. And they're like, oh, it's not so bad. So then they can give it to the rest of their body. So they've first step conquered a fear, maybe.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, I think that danger and eroticism may be connected.
Oh, I agree.
This is something I may be learning in my investigations. Uh-huh. I think that they might, and it's a taboo, right? You're not supposed to play with fire. I believe that we have cliches about
you're
how
right.
you shouldn't play with fire, right? Or if you play with fire, you're going to get burned,
yep.
right? So this is actually like fire play is sort of a in a way, it's defying that cliche. If you play with fire, you're going to get burned, because you can totally play with fire and not get burned. But you actually still should keep the cliche in mind, because if you get cocky and you don't realize that you could make that cliche really literal
exactly.
really fast, if you don't respect the power of the fire, like what you were saying about the ocean, right? Like
mm-hmm.
you have to respect the ocean and not turn your back on it.
Absolutely. And that's one thing for me as a top that's very intriguing, and for a bottom also, is to be like, wow, like I have this thing that's very taboo that I'm going to play with, which is very thrilling and I think turns everybody on.
Yeah.
So that's one layer right there. And another one is the sensation and the visual. So once they may have conquered that fear, and then you have that focus on body sensation. So, for a lot of people that may have been socialized to not explore whole body and the sensations, it can like bring their mind to the skin sensation and the heat and there may be parts of their body that they may not be in touch with and eroticize. So I think that's another thing, is a bottom's mind can really focus on nerves and responses and all sorts of sensations they might not be in tune with. I find that fire play generally gets people in a very like sort of sedate, euphoric kind of a headspace.
Nice.
It's very floaty. It's kind of like, even if you're in a room full of people, it all melts away, so to speak, out of the fire.
Yeah.
And just people just get in the zen sort of very in touch with themselves and their body.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, sign me up.
Yeah. Fire play outdoors, by the way.
Ugh.
Extra cool.
You're singing my song.
I know. Hippie.
Okay, but you know, another thing that it makes me think about is that, of course, it's primal. Mm-hmm. So it's an experience of something primal. But at the same time, the fact that you are getting to play with it and that you are ultimately like have reason to trust that you're safe also has everything to do with the part of being human that has to do with being civilized and being evolved, right? Like,
yeah.
like taking a tool to harness an element, right?
Yes.
And to do that for the purpose of, you know, we like harnessed fire so that we could cook meat. We harnessed fire so that we could heat our homes. And we also can harness fire to get off.
Exactly.
Right? So it's like an element of something. Yeah, it's like hippie, like, you know, elements and like sensuality and being in the body, but it's also like an experience of technique. Like mm-hmm. that goes back to sort of being objective, like the fire bottom, like being objectified as like a material in a project.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love telling a story through fire. And it's, I think I'm paying attention to my bottom, definitely, but I'm also paying attention to how I can use the flame to tell a story through intensity. And it sort of brings it to like a spiritual element.
Nice.
And
what's an example of a story that you could tell through
fire?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I think starting kind of slow and like warming people up.
Again, not. Oh my gosh. I honestly didn't think about it before we started talking about it. But I mean, I think that the fact that so much of our language around these things is based in temperature,
uh-huh.
You know, and the opposite would also be true, right? Like, I don't know, like giving someone the cold shoulder or freezing,
oh, wow.
or freezing them out, or an ice queen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that it only proves why the fact that we're so fascinated by this thing to the point that it's a part of our language in a way that we don't like really even think about.
Yeah. And I think that's also why so many people are interested and intrigued by it.
Right.
But it's, yeah, I think there should be a lot more people playing with fire. Anyway. So we'll start with warming people up, and that will be, what I also like about the technique of fire play is that when we have the alcohol, we run our hand behind the flame to sort of put it out again. If I feel that it's not extinguished in a timely manner, to continue keeping the skin ready to receive fire. So there's an element of like putting down the heat and then the touch. And I'm a very tactile person in a top, so I like that touch to be part of the energetic exchange as well.
Yeah.
So we'll have like the heat and the touch kind of going, and it'll slowly building up. It's very sensual.
Yeah.
And then I might start to bring in the top part of the flame, which is a lot hotter.
Mm.
And that could be playing with maybe the fear, because it's a lot hotter, so bring it close to the skin. Mm. Or they have the sound, so it starts engaging their mind a little bit too as they're getting into it.
Mm.
And then we'll play, I love playing with the alcohol that I said with the tracing, so we'll lay down the patterns and we'll start getting to that, which is, I could do that for a very long time, and it's visually stimulating. So hopefully we have a mirror at the bottom can see that too. And they're like, ooh, that was cool. And I start laughing at this point. I'm like, wow, that was a great one. And just playing little patterns, and like, it's really fun at that point. Continuing moving around the body. And if people are into it, the bottom of the feet is weirdly erotic.
Yeah.
And I've
it's
people
not weird
love that. Yeah. Not weirdly erotic, but yeah.
No, I'm saying like, yeah. I get it.
Yeah. But incredibly erotic. So you start bringing some eroticism in there. And my mentor also taught me how to do cunt fire. So
what is that?
What is that? We have
that's so actually my college nickname, but we can talk about that later.
That.
No, I'm just kidding.
I love you so much more now. So we're not lighting the delicate tissues of the cunt on fire,
right?
But how we apply it to the rest of the body, because it is very thin tissue.
Yeah.
But we will control the flame using our own breath as a top, to have the tip of the flames of the torch lick the cunt.
Okay. So you're licking
the cunt,
a vulva
with a fire.
With the fire, but the fire is doing the licking. I suppose that also could be true of other kinds of genitalia as well.
Yeah, I'm certain that would be the case.
I want to know.
That's something I haven't done myself, but I'm certain that people could do that.
Listen, if lighting balls on fire is not a thing, it definitely
I'm certain
should,
it is.
It definitely should be.
I'll ask my firebug gay male friends, but I would not doubt that people have their techniques to light the dangly bits on fire.
Yes, absolutely.
So
that is amazing. I mean, I guess you could lick. I'm so obsessed with this idea of, you know, we do say that like fire licks. So it's almost like fire was made for sex.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. But you could do that with any part of the body where you like kind of blow on the fire so that the fire like becomes an extension of your breath.
Exactly.
Oh,
and as
God.
A top, because I like controlling it. It's a technique and control.
Yes,
and about
absolutely.
Applying the sensation that I want to. And again, that tip of the flame is the hottest part. So we're controlling that, which is intriguing and amazing for me. And for the bottom, it's another level of sensation because it's pretty intense, or we're also controlling something that can also go very hot very quickly.
So
we can definitely apply that, you know, based on the physiology and how that we use with the flame, because flame, the heat goes up, so that's one thing to consider in your
heat rises.
Exactly. So that's one thing to consider in the scene, and how you place your bottom and how you place your flame is how to use that as well as the vertical heat column and how it rises.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So last year I went to an awesome weekend called Amorous Revolt here on the East Coast. And I wish I could remember the name of this individual, but he taught a class on fire caning. And he had these canes that he had specially designed, and he was demonstrating how to use them. And the thing that made it so amazing and unique, and I can't, this is radio, so I'm like doing it with my pen right now, but I'm trying to think, it's all in the wrist. I mean, basically, like, it was really exciting to watch someone administer a caning where it wasn't about the impact between the actual instrument and the bottom, the bottom's bottom, the butt. but it was actually about, like, and this goes back to what you and I were saying about being drummers and understanding percussion and how that works with impact play, because it's not always about like two things like colliding.
Yeah.
It's about like things grazing off of each other, and it's about the pullback and all of the stuff. So, right. So the cane was being like sort of flicked towards the butt of the demo bottom, and it made the fire sort of pull back and then strike. I'm sure there's like a better way to describe this, but it like reached out and licked, like you said, like the flame like reached out and like licked the bottom, and it was A, beautiful to watch, B, just like really impressive and interesting and unique and fascinating to watch, but also yeah, so sensual. I mean, I really can just imagine that that as a bottom, that way of having that sensation of the heat applied to your body would be more like what you're describing of that like sensuous dance rather than like the methodical, like, let's see if we can like light fire on you and then tap it out and light fire on you and tap you out. I mean, everybody has a different taste of what they find sensual and erotic, but that was just cool. I had never seen anything like that before.
I haven't either. At least I've seen variations of that, and I certainly want to meet this individual because it sounds like a really cool thing he's made. But I've seen other things like fire floggers where they have a significant amount of flame coming from the end. But you're right. You're like using the air to like extend that flame, kind of like maybe the motion of a cracker on a single tail.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But definitely the other element, which I think... as you described it to me, is the sound of that amount of flame. Because when a fire flogger is going,
it was
right,
like, whoosh!
Yeah, and that's something that is erotic and scary and just like the crack of a whip.
It feels less like a sound and more like, I guess it is like you sort of feel like this elemental shift.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that sort of like whoomph sound.
Uh-huh.
Maybe, I mean, I'm not enough of a scientist to know, like, whether, you know, like, the ions in the air are changing, and that's, like, part of what you're feeling, or if it's more of a, again, like a primal fight or flight response, where, like, all of the humans around you are kind of like, whoa, fire, you know, like, even if you know that you're watching this controlled thing, you're still like, whoa, that fire is doing something, it's, like, out of control, which is sort of also why people are in such awe of, fire dancers, right, or fire breathers.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. And, by the way, like, bringing taste into that's one, a really great way to extinguish a torch as a top is to eat fire.
I don't actually know if I know like what how people actually do it, like how people do
it's eat. A big exhale. So as you're putting a torch in your mouth, it's a big exhale to put it out or something like that. And I don't use the fuel that people would use as a performer to like blow fire, etc., but you know, if I want to extinguish a torch, I'll just put it in my mouth because I'm like that. Oh boy, when I had my tongue pierced, it was really great. And as a experienced fire top, temporary or permanent piercings will transmit the heat sensation underneath the skin.
Oh.
So I, of course, being I guess I top myself and just apply fire to myself when I'm topping too.
Nice.
Because it's fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, I used to light my own permanent piercings on fire.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
Why not?
Because you feel it deep in your body.
Exactly.
Oh man. I need you to do that to my belly button piercing.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Well, so it's a date. So Lamalani, let's do a little bit of, let's do a little bit of a recap of what we've talked about so far. So, like, why are people into fire? So, like, the sensuality stuff that we've talked about, and I really liked how you walked through all of the senses. So, it looks cool.
Yep.
I don't think we have to explain that much further. It looks fucking cool. The tactile sensation of heat and the the modulation of the different intensities of the heat, the sound of the whoosh, mm-hmm. Which again, it taps into something really primal, the smell, which many people find like very like comforting and sexy as well. And then all of the sort of more like edge play stuff that we were talking about, right? So like, what were we saying? Like, you know, trust and mm-hmm. control,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
And like the danger and the thrill.
Yeah, definitely.
And you were mentioning earlier, and I don't think that we've said this yet, on the air, but it's also really affordable.
Absolutely. And Fireplay is something that people can craft their own torches. It's made out of materials that you can purchase at hardware stores and drug stores. And isopropyl alcohol is like a couple bucks US for a bottle. The cotton, you know, it's a few dollars. The material for the torches, you can use all sorts of things from futon forks to, I like using drumsticks and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Flash cotton, you can get it at magic stores if it's legal in your area.
Yeah.
And, you know, moose is also a fuel. Like, so all of it is very accessible and people learn and craft and share their knowledge as well.
Yeah. That sort of seems to be like the other big element of it is the craftiness of it and the kind of like, the design and the spectacle of it, both for the people experiencing it, but also as an exhibitionist, like the spectacle when other people are watching that, that fire gets attention.
I'm a performer.
Yeah.
I like doing fire performances with people and drums and things like that.
Cool.
It's to add to the primal nature of it. Yeah. Drum.
So you're going to stick around mm-hmm. and record a, special exclusive DIY Fireplay little segment for us that is going to be available just to Wired People into That subscribers. Is that right?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, so now that we've talked about, now that we've gotten to the bottom of why people are into it and why and how you can get started in sort of smaller ways and working yourself up and warming yourself up, you were describing a scene at Desire that was done by a bunch of really experienced people that sounds really over the top. So can you like describe that scene in a little bit more detail?
Yeah. So it happens pretty much every year at Desire, and it's definitely one of the one of the attractions of going to Desire is people set you on fire and throw you in the pool. So that's how we kind of joke about it.
So do people just like line up to be set on fire?
Oh, you bet they do. People line up to be set on fire.
So there's like a barbecue over here, and then there's like barbecuing girls.
And the fist-a-thons over here.
Oh,
and then we've got the...
Oh, my God.
The whole thing. It's really an exquisite event. So we generally have two people with torches that are lighting the person on fire. So there are four torches applying the fire to the body. The person who comes up and up. So definitely this is not a how-to. This is definitely explaining what the scene looks like.
Yes.
So the person has been prepared before to keep, so they're ready to receive fire on the body. We douse them in alcohol. And then there's a person who's watching and overseeing just to make sure that they'll get in the pool. And if we decide the timing is up and they haven't jumped themselves, because interestingly enough, when people are set on fire, sometimes they freeze. So the two reactions,
oh, man.
And I think everybody's learned as a kid, stop, drop, and roll when you're on fire.
Right.
People will generally run, which is adding more oxygen to it. That's the thing
right.
you don't want to do.
Right.
So, we remind people to stop, drop, and roll, or we'll kick in the pool. So,
so do they stand? I'm not imagining them like on like a diving board.
No, yeah, this particular place didn't have a diving board, so we were just on the edge of a pool. But basically, like a dock or something like that would be appropriate. So we were just standing on the edge of a pool, and
this is such a basic literature. This is such a question from somebody who is a writer, not a scientist, but the chlorine in the pool doesn't like react with the fire?
No, I think the water would extinguish it first, or usually jumping through the air and would blow it out essentially. But the chlorine is would probably, it's ionic at that point, so it's okay. Not like it's a flammable.
Okay,
you know, it's, shows what I know. It's in the water. So, and I don't even know if that one's chlorine in that, but anyway. Okay. So yeah, we have two people. We got one person who's been doused in alcohol, two people applying the fire, and one person who's overseeing the whole scene for safety.
Nice.
So when the fire gets applied to the body, it's amazing because oftentimes the person will light up like a phoenix, or they'll go up in rings on their body. And just seeing this visual is incredible.
Wow.
And
I totally want to do that.
It's amazing. And it's really the most intense 2 seconds you'll ever have in your life. So for me, of course, I try to push it to like 3 or 4. And then I'll get the boot to throw in the ball. I'm like, I had it, Daddy. Jeez.
Does it singe your hair?
Yeah, so that's part of the preparation, is our hair is completely wet at that point.
Oh, gotcha. So as long as it's wet.
Yeah, and my hair being, like, sometimes if it's longer, we'll, like, tie it up in a wet bandana or something. My hair being a little bit short, and I also push the fire as long as I can, I might get a little bit of singe on the back. But I've never had, interestingly enough, like, I've had more, like, sunburn level burns just from doing torches than I have getting my entire body set on fire.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, and of course, me being a firebug, like, and knowing the people who are doing it, I get a lot of alcohol in my body. And they're finishing it out. I'm like, you got to finish that whole body. And they're like, can't take it home. Okay, do it again. So, yeah, fire is definitely one of the few that I love switching and even topping myself.
I was going to mm-hmm. say, okay, so you're a fire switch.
Yeah. Yeah, with very specific people, and it's usually the Seattle scene or the Vancouver, BC scene. But it's a sensation I love to feel. Yeah. And it's kind of like with roughhousing. I love that exchange, but it's, yeah, I just love fire.
So you can't really, that's beautiful. I'm totally, like, I'm in line. I'm going to take a number. I just, seems like it would make people smile. You know what I mean?
Huge.
It just means it just makes people grin. So I'm like smiling just thinking about it.
Yeah. Huge smiles. It's in so many levels. It's intense. It's extreme. It's thrilling. There's people who may have been conquering that fire fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might like, okay, ready for it now. Ready for it. You know,
it might
take a few days to ramp up to it, and they finally do it. So it's a big feat. But it's such an intense thrill.
Yeah.
That you get these like giant smiles coming out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it does also seem like this could be a thrill that people would enjoy without it necessarily being erotic. Like, I could see somebody at a party like that who wasn't necessarily a sadomasochist or somebody that liked playing with power, or even like a sensation slut, who just would want to do it because it seemed, because they're a thrill seeker, because they're also somebody who would line up to jump off the tallest rock and like get that adrenaline rush, right? So I can see it not necessarily being sexual, but I'm also wondering. It seems like a certain amount of concentration and control needs to go into it. So you can't, tell me if I'm wrong. It seems like you probably couldn't really do fire play while also having sex.
Yes and no. So in the case of having the entire body set on fire, you're right, is that it's such a quick instance of fire that it's probably more the thrill, the fact that they've conquered something, you know, the visual aspect, the whole thing. But in a like a more conventional fireplace scene, then you can build that erotic element. You can get someone in a headspace and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then you can, and I think like with the cunt fire, you know, people have come with that.
Wow.
Yeah. And that does happen, and it depends on how the person comes, definitely. But like the fire, especially when you build that story and you build the eroticism, you build the headspace, and then you can build in that sexuality as well, because there's enough time for that. And the cunt fire can, for some people, lead to,
oh my god, coming. Making someone come with fire.
It's, yep.
Come on.
Oh yes.
Oh, I'm glad I asked. But, yeah, I mean, so I guess I could imagine that if you're really experienced, that you could, like, be, like, giving it to someone and also, like, doing like torch fire play like on their chest or something like that, yeah, like while plowing them.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Or like fucking them from behind and like setting their back on fire.
Exactly. Yeah, so I can see you can definitely do that, and sometimes it helps to have someone monitor safety if you've got a hand taken or something like that, or there's a strap on for that. You know,
yes.
there's all sorts of things, but yeah, you can definitely incorporate sexual play into fire play as well, or like actual sexual acts.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, it's getting. I'm feeling. My blood is boiling.
Another reference we found.
So thank you so much for talking to me about this.
Thank you for having me. It's been long overdue, definitely.
Is there anything that you would like to plug that you want people to check out about your work?
Well, I'd say if I come and teach a fire play class in your town or a place near you, definitely come and attend. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out. My email is imsl2009, that's imsl2009@gmail.com. But definitely there are people in the community that are willing to talk about this and mentor, so reach out and find those people.
Yeah, and La Milani also teaches classes on fisting, and I went to the ergonomic roughhousing class, and that was really cool and martial artsy, and you were just teaching a strap-on class at Lesbian Sex Mafia, and you do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
cool. I do. I like doing things.
Yeah.
Showing other people how to do dirty things too.
Yes, fantastic. Well, it's community service in the truest sense.
Indeed.
Well, thanks for being my guest, and I hope you'll come back soon.
Indeed, I love you.
Thanks for listening to episode 40. We've made it to the big 4-0. Follow at Tina Horns Ass on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher, etc. Take a few seconds to write a review if you would, please. And tell your friends about my show. Visit wirepeopleintothat.com to subscribe to our newsletter and listen to our entire archive. As ever, Wire People Into That is produced and hosted by yours truly, Tina Horn. Our theme song is by Pine from Oakland, California. Our website was designed by Justin Levesque, and this project is now exclusively sponsored by my generous and hot, hot, hot patrons. Fight fire with fire at patreon.com/TinaHorn. Until next time, I'll be firewalking with you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.